We've actually it's developed into a series of messages which I've entitled Rediscover, because sometimes in our faith we lose some things. One of the things that comes to mind is the Apostle Paul, where he chastises the Corinthians because they're babes in Christ. He would have them to, you know, eat the meat as opposed to the milk. And we need to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we should never be to the point where we leave the fundamentals of our faith behind. It's so easy to forget them and to lose the essentials of living for Jesus. Some of the things that we've talked about, you know, in living for God and ministering from God, often it's not from our strength, but it's from our weakness. And we got to remember whom we need to rely on as far as serving for God, serving God and ministering for God. We talked about how it's important to live a sacrificial life. And, you know, and I think the greatest moment in our lives where we have the greatest clarity on this is when we first accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We lay it all on the line. God, whatever you want. And we need to hold on to that every moment of our Christian life. And last week we talked about the importance of godly sorrow. And how we need the conviction, not condemnation, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our ministry to move people to a long-lasting faith in Jesus. A life-changing experience. Amen? Not just someone kind of getting caught up in the moment and the emotion of the moment, but someone who turns their heart to Jesus Christ forever. And this morning, I'd like to speak on the thought or about our calling as being lights or witnesses. And I've entitled the message this morning, and I actually borrowed it. I was going to say plagiarized, but as Christians, we don't do that. Borrowed it from an album from one of the musicians from the Jesus era in the early 70s. Streams of light into darkened corners. Because there are shadow people that live in the world today. And you might ask, well, what do I mean by a shadow person? There are many people who live in the darkness or who live in the shadows. John's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm actually going to read this later in the message, but I feel that I should lead it now. It's not our main text. But John's Gospel puts it this way. In chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. There are people who are hiding from the light of Jesus. They're not going to make their way to a church where the gospel is being preached. They're not going to turn on Christian radio or TV, listen to Christian music. They're not going to come to a revival service. They're hiding from it. There's only one problem. To coin a phrase, it's a cliche, but bear with me this morning. As far as the light of the gospel, you can run, but you can't hide. Jesus loves people who live in the shadows. Jesus loves people who are in the darkness. That's why he came. And that is one of the reasons that he has saved us. Because not only is Jesus the light of the world, and he is, but he has called us to be his light, to shine his light. That is our text this morning. Let's read together from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Scripture says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be upon us as we look to the Word of God together. Father, we glorify your name and we thank you for your power and your presence here. And we thank you for the light of the world, Jesus. And God, we thank you for both the privilege and the responsibility that we have in shining your light to others. As we look to your word this morning, we once again pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon us, to not only quicken to us the word of God, but Lord, to be in us in such a way that we shine this word to other people. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. As I mentioned in the introduction this morning, there are swaths of darkness in the world today that Jesus wants to reach. And the only way that these swaths or these areas of darkness, the only way that they will be reached is if you and I not only are there, but we are shining the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our duty. It is our responsibility. And the reason is because it is a necessity. There are places that don't have an adequate witness. When we think of evangelism, and it's so important to understand, I think every born-again believer not only understands, but believes that we need to share the gospel. But one of the ways that that we share the gospel is not the only way that the gospel is to be shared, and that's through event evangelism. And what I mean by that, a lot of the times the way that we evangelize or attempt to evangelize, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, we should keep doing event evangelism, is to have some kind of event that attracts people to come and hear and see so that they can hear the gospel and accept Christ as their Savior. And that's all well and good, but if you only have event evangelism, then you're only going to end up with event Christians. And what I mean by that, people who don't believe that Christianity is a relationship with Jesus. It's every part of your whole life. Rather, it's something to be experienced. It's more like a show or a performance. Although when we come together, we do experience Jesus, and I thank God for experiencing Jesus. In fact, in 2016, I want to experience more of Jesus in my life. And I want to experience more of Jesus Christ in this church. But knowing Jesus is more than just experience. It's relationship. And to have a full witness or testimony, it's more than just having an event. It takes personal evangelism or lifestyle evangelism. People sharing their personal faith, their personal relationship with Jesus, with other people. That's what Jesus is calling us to do here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And it wasn't just the 12. You know, you 12 are going to be my witnesses. The beginning of Matthew chapter 5, the crowds came to Jesus and he began to teach them. All those who hear and all those who follow Jesus are called to be his lights and witnesses. But many in the body of Christ are not. And there are different reasons why people don't witness for Christ, or at least witness as they should for Christ. And for some it's a matter of shame, especially in a society where we're now and increasingly in the United States, especially in the Northeast. Not only is it not hip or trendy to be a committed follower of Jesus, society is trying to put a label of shame upon those who are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. That if you're living for Jesus, you're some kind of bigot or snob or small-minded person. And so many people are hesitant to share their faith, although that's no excuse. The Bible says, if you are ashamed of me before men, Jesus said this, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. But there's another reason why people aren't as powerful as a witness as they should be, or are not shining their light. And that is because they do not feel that they're necessary, because they're not significant. They haven't been gifted with the verbal skills, the oratory skills, to share the gospel like some. And I was going to say, don't you hate those people? I shouldn't say that. But you know how some people can just so clearly articulate what knowing Jesus, you know, they seem to know all the right words and how to put them all together. They seem to know, just like a really good salesman, they seem to just know how to drive someone to the place of, you know, talking about Jesus and making a decision for Jesus. And others of us, we kind of stumble and hem and haw and different things like that. Some of us have been given great platforms to share the gospel. For some, you know, I think of Billy Graham and Francis Chan and some of these other wonderful evangelists that we have out there have great multimedia platforms where they can share Jesus to thousands, if not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people at a time. Others, like pastors, we can speak to, you know, depending on the size of your church, hundreds or tens. Some are leaders out in the business world, and so they have many people who look up to them and look to them and who are influenced by them. And then there are others who seemingly don't have any impact at all. No one looks up to us. We don't have this great flock or field. We don't have a megaphone like, you know, Christian, you know, and thank God for Christian celebrities and sports people who accept Christ and use that to share the gospel with others. We don't have that. So am I even needed in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And can I even make an impact? I don't even have this great story to tell about how God delivered me from this great thing, or how God did this miracle healing in my life, or something of that nature. Don't let the seem, and it's not, and I'll explain why in just a moment. Don't let the seeming smallness of your witness or platform keep you from shining brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because not only are you important, you are needed to shine where God has put you. Think of light. And one of the things that comes to mind, one of the things that came to mind, is the stars at night. And, you know, we got a little dog a couple of years ago, and he's both a joy and a challenge sometimes. But one of the things I enjoy about taking my little dog out at night is I'm able to view the stars, and they're so beautiful. And as small as they are, in fact, you know, we think of the sun and moon giving great light, even the moon, when it's a full moon, you can see everything. But even a star, and it's not really a star, it's a planet, the planet Venus, and it's a pretty bright star, you know, as small as it is, it's nowhere in near comparison to the sun, definitely, and to the moon. But at certain times, and you know, studying for the message this morning, Venus actually goes through phases just like the moon does. And it's at different proximities because of the orbit of Venus and the Earth. Sometimes it's closer to the Earth than others, but when Venus is full Venus, not full moon, but full Venus, and when it's close to the Earth, as small as that little light is, if you hold your hand up in the darkest of nights when there's no moon, Venus, as tiny as that little light is, will cast a shadow. How many of you have a nightlight? As dark as your house might be, that little light bulb, just a few watts, can illumine a whole room. Think of where God has placed you in your life. For some, it's your family. For some, it's your job. For some, it's some other group that God has called you to. And despite the fact that we have Christian TV and radio and we have churches popping up all over the place, the place where you work, the place where you live, the place where you socialize, where you fellowship, is full of people who are living in the shadows, where there's no light of Jesus. And even though your light seemingly is small, just like Venus in the night sky, just like the night light in your room, it casts a great light, which does great things. In the early service, we talked about, you know, Venus is one thing, it casts a shadow, but even one of the tiniest stars and one of the most insignificant stars there is in the night sky is the North Star. I think it's called Polaris. And it's not bright. In fact, I think it's kind of difficult to find, actually, especially in city areas. But the North Star never moves. And despite the fact it's so small, it's one of the most important lights in the sky, because if you are lost, if you follow the North Star or use the North Star as a point of reference, it will always guide you home. And so your life, your witness for Jesus, is not only important as far as your obedience to God, but important because it makes a great impact, as small as it seemingly might be, to those who are living in darkness. Well, if we've been called to be ministers of light, we need to then define what light actually is. And the interesting thing about light is that no one, believe it or not, and you know, I keep looking it up to see if someone has, no one is sure exactly what light is. You read any science journal or science book that describes light, they have a theory what it might be. Science says in some ways it acts like a wave. In other ways it acts like a particle. What's the difference between the two? I'm not sure, but according to science, they're different. It's something even now that's beyond understanding. And there's a reason why light is beyond understanding. It is something from God. Because light is what God is all about. We read about this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Scripture says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Where did light come from? In fact, what was the very first creative act of God after He created the heavens of the earth? God said what? Let there be light. Even before there was a sun and moon. God didn't even need a sun and moon because He is light. And without light, there can be no life. If the sun was to go away tomorrow, and it won't, at least I don't think it will, there would still be heat on planet Earth because the molten core of Earth will continue to be warm. We could still have heat. It would be very difficult to find, but we could find it. Despite the fact we have within Earth's core plenty of heat, all life on Earth would die because there would be no light. And without light, there can be no life. Is the foundation of every living thing on this planet. And so it is in the spiritual realm. There can be no life. In Him was light, and that light was the life of men. There can be no spiritual life. No man or woman can be born again without the light of Jesus Christ shining in them. Light does great things. It warms. It cheers. It illumines. In fact, I can use this illustration this morning. As I was sharing announcements, I felt a burning in my pocket. And I thought to myself, what's wrong with me? And so when I sat down, when people were taking the offering, I took my phone out of my pocket. My light on my camera was on. So light is heat. Scientific evidence. But it's so much more than that. If you've ever been out in the darkness, camped in the darkness, there's nothing like the light of a campfire. It's not just the warmth. I mean, the warmth is great, but the light cheers the soul. Light illuminates darkness. It's what we've been talking about. It shows all the failings and pitfalls. It shows you where to go. It like the North Star or lighthouse, it gives you purpose and direction in your life. And it is the gift of God to all mankind, both natural light and spiritual light. Jesus saying in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of God is not only shining, it's searching for everyone who is living in darkness so they can be have new life, so they can be full of joy. So they can see the truth. So they can have purpose and direction in their life. And the instrument, or I should say instruments, that Jesus has chosen to find, to search out the darkened corners of this world are both you and me. Ask yourself why you are in the situation you are in. I'm not talking about, you know, bad stuff going on. But why you are where God has planted you, because if you are a child of God, God is directing your steps. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you're not at your job to make money, although I'm sure you do. And you're not in your social club just to have a good time, although I hope you do. You wouldn't be a part of it if you weren't. The primary reason, and you're not at your place of dwelling, because that's, you know, just a nice place with an affordable rent or mortgage or whatnot. You were there to shine the light of Jesus in a place of great darkness. That's our calling. And that's our responsibility. So the question is then, how do we are we shining our light? And if not, how then do we shine our light? And of course, when we think about it, and it's very true, to share the light of Jesus, we need to share or tell other people our faith. The gospel is good news. And the only way good news can be transported or related is by communication, written, verbal. Both are good. It's important we know what we believe and be able to share that at least on some level. And we'll talk about this in just a few moments. But the funny thing is about light, and I remember this from my seventh grade science class, as many years ago as that was. It was 1977, I think. And one of the experiments that we had to do, and this is the only thing I remember about it, but our teacher gave us these little plastic, clear plastic slides. And he told us to take them up and to look at the lights. And so we did. And I can't remember, I looked it up online, and apparently they don't use it anymore. But apparently on these little clear plastic strips of paper, there were these tiny little lines that you couldn't see with the naked eye. But when you looked at the light through this plastic piece of paper with these little lines, the light wasn't just monochromatic or one tone or one color. It was actually a broad spectrum of colors. You could see the whole spectrum of light. There was red and green and blue and yellow and all kinds of different colors. It was full. It was beautiful. And so it is with the light that is shining through us. We need to understand that our witness in the dark places that God has called us, that for us to truly be light, are the light, the God, the Jesus that is shining from us must be multispectral, if I could put it that way. Full light. Not just our words, and they're very important. It's by the preaching of the gospel that people come to Christ. But there's more that needs to be associated with that. And two things in addition to one thing in addition to sharing the gospel, and then we'll talk about sharing the gospel in a moment, as I mentioned earlier. But your witness for Jesus does not begin when you finally, in a conversation, get to the point, have you heard about Jesus, or, you know, share John 3:16, or whatever it is, you know, however God leads you to introduce someone to Jesus Christ. In fact, it starts long before you strike up any type of conversation with them. It should start the minute that you enter the room. Because if the divine light of Jesus Christ, in him was the light of life, and that in him was light, and that life was the light of man, if it's shining in you, truly shining in you as it should, it can't help but shine outside of you. Scripture puts it this way and relates it to a person's countenance. Now, countenance is a word used in the King James Version. Face is what's used in New International Versions. But if you know Jesus, you're living for Jesus, and the Spirit of the living God is living in you, it should be as, I don't mean to quote Pinocchio, but it should be as plain as the nose that's on your face. One of the things, and I'm not saying this as far as to prop myself up at all, because when we're doing something that we should do, you know, that's what's expected of us. But one of the things that reminds me of the importance of shining Jesus is when different people outside of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, people either at my secular job or, you know, in some of the other things that I'm associated with that aren't Christian related, when they say, "I like your outlook on life," or "I just like how you kind of lighten up the room when you're there." Now, again, I'm not saying that to prop myself up, because that's what we all should be doing. Just like, you know, when a kid cleans his room, you know, you're doing what you should do. No special rewards. You should be cleaning his room. You know what I'm saying? But doesn't that put authenticity upon who we believe in as far as the Lord Jesus Christ? As far as what God has done in our lives. We sing about it all the time. We sang some beautiful choruses today. We share scripture how, if you know Jesus, we have joy and peace and all these wonderful things. Well, if that's the case, people should see it. When we're under pressure, it should be the grace of God. People should see Jesus in not only your face, they should hear Jesus in your words. And I'm just saying, when you're sharing John 3:16 or the Roman road to salvation, but everything about what you say and do should be godly. Not in a heady, preachy, condescending way, "I'm better than everyone," but in a loving, gracious way, just the way that Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ didn't draw people to Him because He made them feel inferior to Him. He drew people to Him because in Him was life. And that life should be exuding from us. You know, I made a crack when I started working at that department store last month to someone, and I meant it as a joke, but actually it pierces the heart. I said to someone, and I think they're in this room, I said to someone, "Yeah, you know, I started working at, you know, say where it was, because I'll get, not that I'll get in trouble, I'll tell you what it is, but it's just been a really good source of sermon illustration, so I want to be very careful. But I said, "Yeah, I started working there, and, you know, people complain about what's going on, and, you know, they come in grumbling about home and grumbling about this and grumbling about that." And I said, "It feels just like church." And I meant it as a joke. But it pierced my heart, because so often it's true. But a lot of times, even though we've received Christ as God and Savior, we're not truly shining that wonderful, beautiful gift that He has given us to other people. God help us, if we're not shining the light and the love of God, not only with our words, but with our countenance, our face. There's only one way to, and there's only really one way to have a renewed countenance, to shine the light of Jesus. And that's by being in His presence. You know, this is what God wants to do in our lives each and every day. It's from the Old Testament, but it rings true. It's a wonderful blessing we read in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace." Every day, Jesus is shining His face. The face of God is shining upon you. And it's not just something to behold. Like the sun and the moon. Oh, you know, how beautiful, how pretty that is. It's also something that transforms. Think of Jesus when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. All of a sudden, He was caught up and He shone with the light and the glory of God. As He talked with Elijah and Moses in the presence of His Heavenly Father, well, you can say, oh, that was Moses. I mean, that was Jesus. Yeah, but think what happened to Moses after he spent 40 days and nights on the mountain of God. After he came down from that mountain, the Bible says his face shone. When God's face shines on you, it transfigures or transforms your life. Where not only do you feel it on the inside, people can see it on the outside. You want to be a light, you want to be a witness for Jesus. Spend time in the presence of God. Oh, every day we need more and more and more of Jesus so that we can shine His light to others, so that people not only hear it from our lips, they can see it in our faces. I'd like to ask our musicians to come. I have one additional point that I'll go through very quickly this morning. And that is the importance of using our words sparingly. As I mentioned a few moments ago, it's important. Gospel ministry is sharing about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and how much Jesus loves us. But in sharing the gospel, we need to understand that our words need to be measured. Amen? Colossians 4, verses 6 and 7 puts it this way. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. In this portion of Scripture, Jesus, or Paul, is actually relating to what Jesus also called us to be in reference to influencing the world for Him, and that's being salt. And specifically salt in its use in the preparation of a meal. You know, food can have wonderful, different foods that we eat can have wonderful different flavors, but the thing that actually brings the flavor of that food, whether it be vegetables or meat or whatever it might be, potatoes, whatever it might be, is the addition of salt. There's something about salt that just brings the flavor of that food to the surface. It makes that food enjoyable. For a time, because of my blood pressure, I was on a no-salt diet. I tell you, that was a killer. And I couldn't, you know, after my blood pressure, I couldn't wait to start. I used it sparingly. And so, what is this verse saying? All of our conversation needs to have an air of the gospel to it. It's got to be godly. It's got to be point to Jesus. But not to the point where you're killing people with the gospel or you're overloading people with the gospel. And what I mean is this. And I think we've all seen this happen. We have a salt shaker on our table and not, you know, the canister. Because you take the canister, you dump that out in the food, you're not going to eat that food. It becomes inedible. It's too powerful, it's too strong. It becomes offensive. I've had things that were too... In fact, a lot of junk food, when I was on that no-salt diet, when I would eat it because I was used to eating no salt, I couldn't eat it because it was too salty to me. And so what the scripture is saying as far as let your words be seasoned with salt, we need to be measured in our sharing the words of the gospel with other people as well. You don't have to bring people through a course of theology where they understand all the different aspects of redemption in order for them to accept Jesus. In Matthew 13, it talks about sowing a seed. You don't take a pile of seeds and pour it on the ground. You scatter them everywhere. And just that small seed can germinate and produce a wonderful living plant that bears much fruit. Words like, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Scriptures like Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Short presentations, and I'm not telling you how, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But great discourses and messages aren't necessary to bring people to Jesus. All it takes is the seed of the Word of God to bring about change in their lives. There's only one way that we can know how to measure our words carefully, not to underdo or overdo the salt, so to speak. And that's being led by the same one who shines upon us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of His Holy Spirit. In saying that this morning, let me leave you with this. Reactions to your ministry as light in darkened places will be varied. John 1, 4, and 5 says, in Him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You're going to, and many of you have, shared Jesus with people, and they didn't get it. They knew you were different. I mean, if a person is genuinely a Christian, they know it. You know, there's something different about you, man. Tell me about it. And you share Jesus, and whether it's long or short, they just don't get it. For other people, it's not a matter of they don't get it. They either don't care, or they're moved to a place of anger or resentment. Scripture I read at the beginning, I'll read once again from John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Some people will accept the light, you know, light shines in the darkness has not comprehended it, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be called the sons of God, even to them who believed on his name. Many others will not understand, will not care, or will resent the light of God shining through you. Don't let the reactions of man keep you from shining that light. And I bring you back to the stars. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Amen? Life-changing things happen in the world. Events in the world, you know, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Events in the world can happen this week. You know, just read the inquiry. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, seriously. Things can happen this week that can radically change people's futures, countries, you name it. Regardless, the stars in the sky will continue to shine. as they have always shown. The sun will come up and the sun will go down. And that's what you and I need to be. And so I leave you this morning with this promise from God given to us in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Someday, we're going to be like the stars for eternity, having the glory of God shining in its fullness through us. I don't fully understand it, but I know it's going to be something great. And I think the degree of the fulfillment of that scripture depends on how brightly we shine in our countenance, in our words, our deeds, our actions. Now, may we be like the stars who, whether it rains, whether it shines, whether it's a good day, whether it's a bad day, whether there's a lot of things that are going on, or nothing is going on, we're shining for Jesus in the dark places that God has placed us. You are important. You're valuable to God, and especially to those to whom God is moving you to reach in the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me today? Let's sing together this morning as we prepare to move to the close of this service.